We're going through a series on belonging. Belonging to God as Father, through the Son and the Spirit, but also belonging as a church family. And often when we think about belongings or belonging, we think of family and we think of things. Today we're thinking about giving those things away. The power of legacy. What's coming into your mind straight away? Is it money or is it people and mindsets and things? Hands up, money. Hands up if you're not being honest and actually you are thinking of money, but yeah. When I think of legacy, I think straight away of leaving a legacy, money legacy in a will. After I have died, I'm going to leave a legacy of money to my children and their children and their children's children. Well, maybe it'll just last my children. This morning, I want us to think about how we can have something that belongs to us, that we pass on, that maybe will impact not just the next generation, but generations to come. We saw it on rugby pitches around Europe yesterday. What we receive from our friend, we also pass on to a teammate. And we see it in the Bible where Paul says in two places in 1 Corinthians, writing to a church in Corinth, he says, what I've received from Jesus, I'm passing on to you. That's in 1 Corinthians 11. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, he's teaching about the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus being raised from the dead. And just before he talks about Jesus dying for our sins according to scriptures and then being raised again according to scriptures, he says, what I've received, the things of first importance that I've received, I'm passing on to you. And I want us to think of these kind of things as legacy, not financial legacy, but what we receive from God, how we pass that on to others. As I look around this room, I see people who over decades have made intentional decisions to leave a legacy that lasts not just one generation, but generations to come. Anne, you are one of those people. And I just want to honor you, Anne, for your prayerfulness for your family, your tribe, over generations. And you have prayed them into the kingdom. And generations have been impacted because of your faithful prayers. And we could go around the room and honor people. Honor mothers and mother figures in our room who've had something from God and they've passed it on to the next generation or to other people in our church family. I want us to think of some things in today's sermon. The first of all is I want us to honor women, mothers and mother figures in our lives and in our church and their legacy. I want us to notice their legacy. And maybe as you think through the legacy of mother figures in your life, biological or spiritual, or people in our church family who've been like mothers, maybe you send them a message if they're still alive today or speak to them after this service and say, you've made an impact in my life. And it will last not just my generation, it's had a knock-on effect. Maybe you could honor them that way today. I want us, secondly, to explore and be inspired by some of the mothers and mother figures in Scripture and their examples, not to elevate them and say, weren't they great, but elevate them as they elevate God through their faithfulness and the legacy that they leave, or as the legacy that they left. And then the third thing, for us to consider what our legacy as individuals will be. I want us to consider five heroes, heroines, six actually, of Scripture. There are others, but I just want to highlight these six. They received from God and they passed on. The first one is Jochebed. Anyone heard of Jochebed? Hands right up now. One or two. She is someone who's mentioned twice by name in the Bible, once in Exodus chapter 6 and once in Numbers 26. And she is someone who we would often skip over. But she deserves being honored. She was the mother of Moses and Aaron and Miriam, leaders of God's people as they came out of slavery in Egypt, and God used her children to bring glory to his name, to show how wonderful and powerful and mighty God is, and how wonderful is his rescue and his salvation. And Jochebed had three children, Aaron and Miriam. And then before Moses was born, the leader in Egypt said, any male child born is to be killed because there are too many Israelites in Egypt at the moment. But Jochebed decided to ignore that rule and kept Moses in safety for 3 months. But what Jochebed then did was she realized she couldn't keep Moses to herself safely. And if you know the story in Exodus chapter 2, she goes and does something that is really weird if you just think of it as what it literally was. Because what she does is she goes and places her precious baby in the river Nile and then steps away. What she's received from God, she puts in the river Nile. And on the face of it, it's weird. But what Jochebed was actually doing was saying, I know in my hands, Moses will not survive. He will not live. So I'm placing my precious baby into God's hands, wholly into God's hands. And I'm entrusting Moses to God. And what happens is a princess of Egypt spots the baby, and Miriam, Moses' sister, says, hey, princess of Egypt, do you want me to find a Hebrew mum to look after Moses? And for between 3 or 4 years, depending when Moses was weaned completely, and I say 3 to 4 years, and you might be thinking, well, weaning happens after six months in the UK. Actually, in those cultures, it would have been 3 to 4 years, maybe even a little bit longer. And up until the point he was weaned, his mother, Jochebed, would have held him, probably prayed over him. Why? Well, she was a woman of faith. She was a descendant of Levi. She was part of the priestly tribe, or the tribe that would become the priestly tribe. And for those 3 to 4 years, she would have nurtured him. And then she handed him over again. And we don't hear of Jochebed anymore. But what we do know is something of what her children got up to. Because her children were used by God to show the Egyptians and also the Israelites something of God's glory. Something of the essence and the heart, the character of what God is really like, that he is mighty, that he is holy, that he is absolutely gracious and compassionate, yet also mighty in his holiness. How do we know that that was part of her legacy? Well, the hint is in her name, because Jochebed means God be glorified, or God's glory. And right in her name, we see a hint at her legacy. Jochebed, one of the heroes of faith that we lift up as she lifted up God's, and what she received from God, she passed on to others. Another lady from Scripture, Hannah. We read of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. She was someone who could not have children, but she prayed and prayed and prayed. I want to, before I say anything else, I would just want to honor Hannah in her persistence in prayer. She took her desires and needs to God rather than turning away from God with her needs. And she kept on going back to God in prayer, persistently praying. And she said to God, look, if you give me a child, I will devote him to you. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. And Samuel went into the tabernacle and was for his whole life devoted to worshipping God and leading God's people. Hannah, whose name means favor or grace, had God's favor and grace shown to her, but she chose not to keep it for herself when she had that son. She gave that son back to God. What she received from God, she passed on. Samuel, God hears, is his name. God has heard. And through his leadership of the people of Israel at that time, as a prophet, as a judge, as a priest, we see him encouraging people to go back to God and listen, because God doesn't just hear us, but we can also hear God. And time again, there's examples of Samuel listening to God and then doing what God says. And one of the things that King Saul did wrong was he didn't inquire of God. He didn't ask God. He didn't continue to listen to what Samuel was saying, to go back to God and listen to him. Hannah's legacy: prayerfulness, persistent faithfulness in that prayer, praising when God comes through with answers, but also giving back to God one of the most precious things that she had been given. We're jumping to the New Testament with Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Elizabeth, another lady who couldn't have children, but this is how she's described. Verse 6, both Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. She was a holy woman. A holy woman, and God chooses to bless her with a child. But what she receives from God, she gives away. Not saying, oh, I don't want it. But actually, she's got to release John the Baptist to the work that God has for him. Righteousness. In John the Baptist's ministry, he calls the people of God to righteousness and holiness, and to live according to the Lord's commands and decrees. But also John the Baptist points towards God fulfilling a promise. And I believe some of that, as well as God's imparting that ministry to John the Baptist, some of that would have been passed on from his mother Elizabeth. Mary, the mother of Jesus, maybe the mum in this list that each of us would have heard of before. She was there at Jesus' birth. She was there at Jesus' death. And we see from this verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, that she was there around the time of his resurrection, praying with the disciples, and probably there on the day of Pentecost receiving the Holy Spirit. We don't know exactly what Mary was like when Jesus was a little boy. We see some verses in Scripture, but we do see that she has to, at different times, not just receive from God, but pass on Jesus to the ministry that God had called Jesus to. I want to just point out three things, though, from her life as a way of honoring, but also inspiring us. In the Christmas narrative, there's a phrase that says, Mary treasured these things up in her heart. Can you remember that phrase? If you know the passage, the shepherds, they come in, they make a lot of noise, excited about Jesus being born, and they go out and have a party and celebrate and tell everyone. But it says, Mary treasured these things up in her heart. How do we know that? And have you ever thought, how do we know why she treasured them up or how she treasured them up? Because it's written. How was it written down? If she stored it in her heart. If she treasured them up in her heart, how was it written down? She shared them. And in Luke's gospel and in Matthew's gospel, we see some of the detail that could have only been shared with Matthew and with Luke by Mary herself. How can we read the words of a song of praise in Luke chapter 1 that Mary gives and sings? How can we know those words unless Mary herself passed those words on? She treasured them up, but she didn't just store them for herself, she passed them on. We see in this verse, from Acts chapter 1, verse 14, something of Mary's faithfulness and prayerfulness as a follower of her son, constantly gathering and praying. And then we also see something from her other children. The brothers are there. Probably Jesus' sister was there as well, praying. But there's something about Mary's legacy that was passed on to the brothers that we can know about, and it's this. In James chapter 1, verse 1, James, the half-brother of Jesus, we read that, it says this, James, a servant of God and of Jesus Christ. And he writes, and Jude, another half-brother of Jesus, it says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, with neither of those brothers do they say, you need to listen to what I'm writing because I am Jesus' brother. He's my bro. They don't claim that prideful or boastful status, but they are humble. Where do they get that humility from? In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, when Mary is told by angel Gabriel, you're going to have God's son, she doesn't go, I'm going to be the mother of God. Look at me, everyone. Aren't I important? No, in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, we see her humbly saying, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me whatever you're saying. May that come true in my life. And Mary's humility is part of her legacy. Two ladies in Timothy's life made an impact. A legacy was left. Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and Eunice, Timothy's mother. Timothy was a follower of Jesus whose dad was a Greek and whose mother and grandmother were Jewish. But they became followers of Jesus. But they weren't living in Israel. These two ladies, Eunice and Lois, were living in modern-day Turkey, or the equivalent of modern-day Turkey, in a city called Lystra. And in Lystra, it would have been challenging, or more challenging, to live faithfully as a Jew than it would have been to live faithfully as a Jew in Israel. You're out of the context where the dominant religion in Israel would have been Judaism. Dominant religion in Turkey would have been, well, lots of different things. And as Jewish ladies, they faithfully taught Timothy the scriptures. And then at some point, Lois received the good news of Jesus Christ and became a follower of Jesus. And Eunice did in turn. And in turn, they shared that with Timothy, their son and grandson. What they received from the Lord, they passed on to him. And then he goes and plants churches and leads different missions with Paul and under Paul's kind of coaching and things like that. With Lois and Eunice, they're not mentioned that much. But I want to highlight two things that they have as a legacy. One, they honored God in a context and culture that it was difficult to do so. How do I know this? Well, one, the historical context. But two, their child or grandson named Timothy. As they have invested in him, he is described as someone who has a good reputation amongst the believers and the Jews and the Greeks. He is someone who is living honorably for God. What does Timothy mean as a name? Honor God. Their legacy was to honor God in a context that it's difficult to do so. And the second legacy is that they ensured that what they received, they passed on. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, "What you received from me, what you heard me say about Jesus, pass on to reliable people so that they in turn can pass on to others." Lois and Eunice have already done that. Sometimes we just jump to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 for passing things on. Actually, this verse, well, these verses show that Lois and Eunice have passed on the gospel to Timothy. And now in turn, Timothy, you do the same. It's their legacy. These are six ladies of scripture, of faith, who chose to pass on something that impacted not just the next generation, but in a lot of cases, impacted generations to come. And these ladies are the same. Suzanne Wesley, who had 19 children. Wow. We need to honor her for that. And each day she would go into a special chair and put an apron over her head for a bit of peace and quiet. It would be a normal thing. But actually, she devoted herself to praying. To praying for her children, to praying for God's kingdom to come, praying for the churches, praying for people to know scripture, for praying for disciples to not just be made but multiplied. And two of her 19 children were John and Charles Wesley, who were used by God to bring renewal and revival and awakening across this nation and across the world as a result. And Methodism as a denomination, as a stream of Christianity was born. She was the mother of Methodism. But actually, in its purest form, there was prayer. In small groups, people were accountable to one another and accountable to Scripture. And there was sharing of the faith. Key elements of Methodism. And she lived them and prayed over her children and devoted herself to that. And the legacy lives on. The next lady, Amelia Taylor, who had a son called James, same name as her husband. And James Taylor, who was James Hudson Taylor, at the age of 17, wasn't following the faith that Amelia and her husband had taught him and shared with him. So she took it upon herself. So she's Amelia Hudson. The Taylor bit came in later. She took it upon herself to go into her room alone, turn the key in the door, and to plead with God for her son's salvation. And resolving not to leave that spot until her prayers were answered, she stayed on her knees until her heart flooded with a joyful assurance that her prayers were heard and answered. On a Saturday afternoon in 1849, that prayer was answered, and her son came home and said, "I've become a Christian." And Hudson Taylor became one of the greatest missionaries or missionary leaders of all time, spending 51 years in China, founding the China Inland Mission. He trained and sent well over 1,000 gospel missionaries to China, and personally brought countless thousands of Chinese people to Christ. But it wasn't just his mum. His sister, Amelia Jr., wrote in her diary a month before that Saturday in 1849 that she was committing to pray for her brother's salvation three times a day until it happens. How do we know that? Well, Hudson Taylor read his sister's diary. Naughty boy. But she committed to pray. And because of that commitment, her legacy came through in Hudson Taylor's life. The next lady, Billy Graham's mother, who before she conceived a child, when she got married, before they conceived, she said, every child of mine, I'm going to pray into the kingdom and pray that the kingdom of God will come. Sorry. The kingdom of God will come mightily through anyone of our family. Billy Graham became one of the biggest evangelists around the world. But it started with a mother's decision to pray. The next lady, an Albanian lady, who after her husband died, had to look after the rest of the family, and they didn't have much, but what they had, she used to feed the poor and the vulnerable in that community to say, if you are poor, you're our people, and we will take you into our home, and we will feed you, we will give you medicine, etc., etc., etc. And one of her daughters, Agnes, learnt from her mum what it was to care for the poor. And she became Mother Teresa. Agnes became Mother Teresa. The impact of a mum. But she had to make an intentional decision to not just receive what she had, but also pass on to others and allow her children to see that happen. What about you and me? What's our legacy going to be? Legacies happen regardless of whether we choose for them to happen or not. I wonder if you've known someone to leave something behind that is negative. I think actually most negative legacies are unintentionally left. Mindsets or impacts of people's lives, well, after they've gone and they impact you or the next generation, they're not intentionally left. The positive ones are often intentionally left. So what are we going to intentionally choose to leave behind? To invest in people's lives now? To be committed to do now? Will we raise up leaders who reveal to others, to nations, the glory of God? Will we persistently pray until we see God answer those prayers? And when he does, we give him the glory. Will we be righteous and holy? And I'm not just speaking to mothers or mother figures in this room. I'm using these as examples and honoring these people and lifting them up as they lifted Jesus up. But I want us to be inspired by these, whether we're male or female, whether we're mothers or fathers or neither. How are we going to be impacted by these people and their faith in Jesus? Is our legacy going to be one of humility and of prayer? Or honoring God when everything around us is difficult and not honoring to God? I wonder if we will allow our children to see us, or children within our church family, to see us putting an apron over our heads and praying persistently. I wonder if there will be revival leaders coming from our children's groups and our youth groups that God wants us to just raise up and pray in. I wonder if there are people who will be sent from this place, as we have done before, that will impact nations and worldwide mission. I wonder if there are any evangelists that God wants to raise up that will evangelize to thousands upon thousands upon thousands and see God's kingdom come mightily. I wonder if there are people in our church who they need to see us loving people practically so that they in turn will love people practically and be the hands and the feet of Jesus. What will your legacy be? We need to make a decision. Not to keep what we have received to ourselves. In a moment, I'm going to pray into those things as the worship group come up. But before I do so, I want to also recognize that there are some people here that may think, I haven't got anything worth passing on. And you actually need to receive God first and actually live the Jesus legacy. Jesus was given to us. Who is Jesus? He's the perfect Son of God. Come to earth so that we could see God in all of his glory and goodness. And he died on a cross so that all of our sin and our shame, all of our brokenness could be taken away from us. So we don't carry that burden anymore. And we could have a right relationship with our Father God in heaven. And he didn't just stay dead. He was raised to life. And he gave us his Holy Spirit so that we could live a life full of him and living out his legacy, impacting generations and generations. I'm going to pray a prayer for you to receive Jesus. What we receive, we pass on. If the group could come up. Father God, I pray this prayer for anyone who wants to receive you in their life. I thank you, God, that you love us. I thank you that you love us in spite of all of the things we've done wrong, and our brokenness, our sin, and our shame, our guilt, the things that we just don't want to pass on, but we want to get rid of. And we recognize, Jesus, that when you died on the cross, you died for our sin. And actually, we pass our sin on to you and receive your love. And as we receive your love, we pass on our guilt. As we receive your love, we pass on to you all of our brokenness. We recognize that that's what you were doing on the cross. You were receiving all of that brokenness and sin, but not to pass on to someone else. You were going to deal with it and get rid of it. And we thank you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you promise your Holy Spirit to all who turn and believe in you. So as we turn to you now and ask you into our lives, we ask you to give us your Holy Spirit so that we can live with you and for you. And that what we pass on to others is actually from you and not from ourselves. That what we pass on to others is a good thing and not bad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.